Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson just read. In a court of law, once the evidence is presented to the judge or jury, they are charged with making a decision about whether the person is guilty beyond all reasonable doubt. If reasonable doubt exists, then the judge or jury, the court, is not supposed to declare the person to be guilty. So what is reasonable doubt? As you can imagine, this is a heated discussion that takes place between judges and juries and lawyers. This is somewhat left up to the interpretation of the individual. What is doubt, though? It's supposed to snow later today, but I have my doubts. I doubt anyone will read this, but I'm writing to tell you that I'm not thrilled with the performance of your product. I doubt anyone is listening. Or in the language of cell phone texting, IDI. Or if you want to be a little bit more severe, IHDI. I highly doubt it. In order for there to be doubt, there must first be something that is posited. Something advanced that you are supposed to believe. The world is going to end in the year 2012. I doubt it. A friend of a friend of a friend told me that he saw monkeys fly with his own eyes. I doubt the reliability of your source. You get the idea. Doubt can be a healthy and even a helpful thing. If it keeps you from making a bad financial decision, or if it helps you to be prepared for an unrealistic outcome, or if it keeps an innocent man from being imprisoned and declared guilty. But it's one thing to doubt the weatherman's forecasts or a friend's story, and quite another thing to doubt God's word. The more often the weatherman is right, the more often you will be willing to believe him and trust what he has said. The more often your friend's stories are shown to be true, the less likely you will be to doubt him in the future. But how can that work with God's word? I can't see or experience the eternal life that is promised to me before God calls me home. I can't prove that what happens in baptism is a washing away of sins because I can't see it happening. I can't prove that Jesus is in, with, and under the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. If you doubt God's word, there is no proof left for these things. It's easy to doubt the message that you hear in church, isn't it? How can a man say, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and then, poof, all of your sins are gone? How can we believe that there are three distinct persons and yet only one God? How can a virgin conceive and give birth to a son? Can this world really have been created in 6 literal days? Who can rise from the dead? If no one doubted who God is and what he gives in his divine service, in his house, at his font, and at his altar, then these pews would always be filled. No one would ever miss even a single opportunity to receive God's free gifts of eternal life and salvation, which are far more precious than silver and gold and than all the riches of the world. But we do doubt. We do struggle to believe what God has revealed to us in His Word, through His prophets, and through the apostles. The text set before us today on this third Sunday of Advent shows us that we are not alone in our doubts. Concerning John the Baptist, Jesus said, I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. And yet, as John, the greatest man born of woman, sat in prison, he very much doubted the word of God that he himself had preached to all those who had been baptized. He doubted that Jesus really was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When his disciples came to him telling him of all the things that Jesus was doing, he expected to hear that the kingdom of God had been ushered in. He expected to be released from prison. But those things had not happened. The judgment of the wicked had not occurred. He sent two of his disciples to Jesus to ask if Jesus was the coming one. That's literally what the text says, which also means the Messiah, or if they should be looking for someone else. This may have been as much for his disciples' benefit as it was for his, but clearly John, sitting in prison, struggled with doubt. He wondered whether this was the Messiah. At that moment, the devil must have been saying to himself, "Ha, I've got him now." What a prize for the devil to claim. The forerunner of Christ, prophesied by the Old Testament, the very last of the Old Testament prophets, the greatest man ever born of woman, according to Jesus' words. It's very tempting to think that we have such strong faith that we wouldn't have had the same doubts as John had while sitting in prison. But Jesus' words about John didn't end with him being the greatest man alive. Jesus also said, "Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." John still had a sinful father and was born of his sinful mother with a fallen nature and a fallible mind, just like each and every one of us. If ever there is anything that we should doubt, it's not God's word or his promises, but rather our wisdom, our knowledge, and our strength, especially when it comes to these things, to spiritual matters, to life and salvation. As we see with John the Baptist, doubt is one of the devil's most powerful tools. He used it first in the garden when speaking to Adam and Eve. "Did God really say that you should not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Don't you think that he just doesn't want you to be like him, knowing the difference between good and evil?" He attempted to get John to stumble in the same way. "Are you sure that's really the Messiah? Are you sure this is the one that was to come? Is it worth sitting in prison, getting ready to give up your head for the word that he has asked you to preach?" And the doubts came flooding in. The devil attempted to get John to stumble and to be offended, or as the Greek text says here, literally, to be scandalized by Jesus, so that John would fall away and stop believing. But here then is the good news about John's doubt and about our own doubts and uncertainties. Jesus didn't let John fall away. He didn't let the devil have John for eternity. And neither will he let you be offended or fall away. The one who creates faith and forgives sins and heals sicknesses and drives out demons was active then, and he is still active now. He still creates faith by the hearing of his word. He will not lose even one that belongs to him. He even went to the cross to pay the price for John's doubt and his unbelief, for your doubts and for mine as well. On this third Sunday of Advent, also called Gaudete Sunday, Gaudete meaning rejoice, you see that on the banner, the third candle, which is pink, the word rejoice, we are reminded to celebrate and rejoice that God sent John the Baptist to be the forerunner of Christ, to prepare the way for the Messiah, and that God did not let him stumble and fall into sin. He was not destroyed by doubt and by the temptations of the devil. We light a pink candle on our Advent wreath for joy, and the very first word of our introit, also the first words of our epistle lesson, remind us to rejoice. rejoice that the least in the kingdom of God is greater than the greatest in this kingdom. Rejoice that we are not saved by works, that there is no salvation by our own actions, but by grace alone. The one who stands in God's grace is greater than even the best one who stands in his own works. Doubts about God's promises will continue while we are in the sinful flesh, but rejoice, your sins have been forgiven. And the God that has created faith in you is far stronger than any of your doubts. Rejoice that you are counted among those who are not offended by Jesus, by his wounds, or by his flesh and blood. Rejoice that God continues his good work in you, and that he has promised that he will bring it to completion in his day. In God's court of law, the judge has taken his seat. The devil has his accusations and proof prepared to testify against you. But because you are covered in the righteous blood of Jesus Christ, the verdict that is handed down from the judge is given even before the testimony. Not guilty. Don't doubt the words of the judge. Rather, rejoice and live in his mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.